All right, this today, stand up. Today is Thursday, January 21st, 2016. We're going to salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Board member Dolores. Board member Ramos and Vice Chair Ramos.
Here.
Board member and Treasurer Hernandez.
Here.
And of course I'm here. Certification. Certification that the agenda was posted at least 72 hours before the meeting at Shaw Market, Biola Community Center, and Biola Post Office, and was signed by the Secretary to the Board. Elaine Cervantes will acknowledge to the Board President as being correct.
Yes.
Okay. Item two, adoption of the agenda, regular meeting, January 21st, 2016. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion we adopt the agenda dated for January 21st, 2016.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I had a quick change on that.
Well, based on your email, you don't really need to change it.
Can I just clarify? Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
So you were talking about theirs. This agenda fits that. What you want.
It was another topic.
Okay. I thought you were just talking about the closed session.
You're good.
Or were you talking about number six?
Number six.
Yeah, she had a question on that one.
Oh, the board changed for February?
On your agenda? That's your minutes.
We're going to do that now?
No. What? It's better just to do it when we get to that item.
Okay, then that's fine.
I need a second.
There, a second.
I'm the one that made it.
Somebody else has to make it.
One of the two gals on the other end.
What?
We need a second. Do I hear a second?
Okay, so the only thing was in regards to last meeting was the ice machine freezer thing. I just want to kind of clarify politely that I did not vote for it.
You're talking about the minutes from last month.
We're not there yet.
We're on the agenda.
Never mind.
You were seconding what? I didn't hear.
Just adoption of the agenda.
Adoption of agenda.
Oh, okay.
Number two.
Okay. Second. I'll second.
Okay.
Need a second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. That's my pin we got here.
Oh, really? It was right here.
Well, yeah, I left it there.
I'm using it now. Thank you.
Okay. Item three, request to address the board. Anybody got anything to address the board? Going once, going twice, sold. Special business. Item A, approval of minutes of regular meeting of December 17, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
So you were saying a correction on that you opposed? Okay.
Well,
I guess the way it's written on here doesn't specify like a certain size, so I guess it's fine.
Well, where's it at? Which one? What letter?
It is B.
The commercial
two.
Freezer?
Yeah. I just was kind of more for like the smaller one. If you guys recall, it wasn't too much of the...
Yeah, that was the one that I presented at our last meeting. That was the actual photo that I presented at the last meeting that they approved.
Right. I'm just saying that.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't show that I was, like, not for it.
Yeah, I need to put on there a post.
That's all.
Yeah, because it's action minute, so I should have just put there on the post. So I'll correct that.
No, you wanted to correct the what? The freezer or the ice machine?
No, the freezer.
What the district bought.
Yes.
Not what the...
I was just kind of more
approved.
For like the smaller one, that's all.
Because she opposed, she was, so it would have been...
No, because there's two items.
So just the
freezer.
Just the freezer.
4-1 vote, right?
Yes. No, 3-1.
3-1.
3-1, because she wasn't here yet. Mercedes wasn't here yet.
Oh.
No changes, 3-1 then?
Last month I was here.
Yeah,
but you were late.
You were late, and that was already.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, do I hear a motion to accept the meeting of December 17, 2015?
I make a motion we accept the minutes from December 17th with Mrs. with Monique's changes on item B.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item D, review approval of audit with Brian Pete Jolly, CPA.
Technically, you should have a motion and a second to approve, and then the discussion is his report. And then after he finishes his report, then we just vote on it. So
we
technically,
we
need
accept.
A motion. Yeah.
I have a motion to accept Ron B. Jolly's CPA.
I'll make a motion we accept Mr. Ryan P. Jolly, CPA.
Do we have a second?
Section B.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Wait.
Now it's discussion.
Now it's discussion time. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to mess things up. I've got the report on the screen. Yeah, it'll get brighter here in a second, but it still might be good to turn one part of the light off. Ryan spent a lot of time on this, and time in Biola. So I don't know. You got to you have to direct me on how
I
to do this.
I can take it away if you want.
Okay.
Then you can go to the pages.
Okay, you just tell me where to go.
Yeah. Okay, so just go beyond the table of contents. First of all, thanks for having me here. It's been great working with the district once again this year, and the staff did a great job helping us get everything we needed. This year was a little bit unique because we had to do a single audit because of the CDBG funds that the district had received from the county. What that entails is additional testing on those grant funds, making sure they were properly expended. And so that's why I'll go through them. You'll see a few additional reports this year and a few additional schedules. So we weren't expecting that right off the bat, so that kind of, we had to come back and do a little additional work after our initial visit here. But after all that, we got it finished, and all the reports turned out well. So this is the auditor's opinion, and we issued an unqualified opinion, meaning we found the district's books to be in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. This is the most favorable audit report that the district can receive, and it's the one that you've received the past several years, so I commend you for that. If you go to page, let's actually go to page 7.
Page 7, which has at the top?
Yeah, keep going down.
Oh, 3, okay.
This is the general fund, kind of profit and loss. This is where we keep track of the profit.
And what page are you on now?
7. This is where we keep track of the community center expenses and the storm drains, a few of those things. And so.
Wait a minute, this one?
Yeah.
This is page 7?
Page 7, yeah.
Okay.
This is it. You can see we had a loss of about $14,000, but that's improved over the from prior years. We worked on allocating the expenses a little bit this year to make sure we were properly allocating, you know, expenses that serve the whole district properly between the general fund here and then the water and sewer funds. Yeah.
Okay, now we had a rate increase last year, a substantial amount of rate increase, but yet we're still losing. I mean,
this is, yeah, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
This isn't the water and the sewer rates. This is just our property taxes.
Okay, it doesn't include everything.
Yeah,
all
just
right.
This is just the property taxes you receive and also the rents on the community center.
All right, then.
Could I interject a little explanation there? You talked about allocating. We've got stuff for water, sewer, solid waste, community center, and general.
Yeah.
Those are like 5 categories. So when we get a bill for the audit, $8,000, where do we put that? You know, well, 40% water, 45% sewer, you know, 5%. So when he's talking about that, that's a tricky part of the game and really important because, you know, it all ends up in the bottom line in the water column.
How do you determine how much to take out, though?
Honestly,
based on what?
Jeff Johnson came up with a lot of the percentage splits, and I've pretty much
kept
stuck with those.
Yeah.
You know, but it's an inexact science.
Yeah, it's not a perfect science, but looking at staff time or number of accounts, there's different ways you can come up kind of with an allocation method.
Even actually with Jared Steele, you know, how much time they do water and wastewater. How much of their bill should we bill to wastewater? How much should we bill to water? That's kind of an exact thing, too. So we're reviewing all of that so it's as accurate as it can be, but it's an inexact science, I guess,
yeah.
Is what I'm trying to communicate. But it's tricky. Anyways, sorry, Ryan.
No, you're fine. So if we go then to page 10, this is the kind of the profit and loss for the water and waste disposal funds.
And
I'm kind of skipping over the balance sheets because there's nothing unusual with those. I'm more focusing on the profit and losses. But if you look down towards the bottom, the net income loss before capital contributions, you'll notice it's negative $41,000 for the water, negative $76,762 for the waste disposal. The reason being is that you have depreciation expense in here, and that's a non-cash item.
See, that's depreciation.
That's kind of using up your, yeah, right in there. That's the that's a non-cash expense. That's kind of we're writing off your capital improvements over their useful lives. And so
it's not really cash then.
It's not cash. It's not a cash expenditure, but it gives you an idea of kind of what you would be needing to kind of put away for future because some of these, you know, your infrastructure has to be replaced every
when I looked at these numbers, like I said, operating income loss, it has, you know, under the water 44 plus and 76 plus, the total of 121. And, you know, I made a parenthesis and for my own personal use, it says, you know, even with rate increase, you're still losing. But you're saying it's not really cash.
It's not. You're not losing. And I'll show you the cash side of it. You're pretty much breaking even on cash, but you're not putting money kind of into for future reserves to replace your infrastructure, which is typical for a district of your size. I mean, you don't have much debt. You're almost going to be debt free in a few years here. So if you did have a big capital improvement project, you would either probably get grant funding, which you've been good at doing the last couple of years, or you would take out a loan, and then that loan would then pay for the next big capital improvement you have to do to your water or sewer system. So it's not it's ideal if you can put away that money and have the cash there available, but it's not unusual for a district of your nature or size. So
in essence, all these numbers in parentheses really aren't a total loss as far as money-wise.
Yeah, money. If you go to the next page, on page 11, that's where you can see kind of how your cash from the beginning of the year to the end of the year and the different things that affected that. You'll notice the water did have a negative $20,000 or a decrease in cash of $20,000. Waste disposal had an increase of $8,600. And so, you know, water, part of that was due to you purchased some equipment in the water fund, $24,000 worth of equipment. So, also you're making debts, $18,000 of debt payments. So, it is still a little bit of a cash loss, but it's not significant. That's pretty much break even on those two as far as cash.
Yeah, because it says net increase, decrease in cash and improvements. You're looking at $20,187 under water. Then the other ones looks like it's great. Then the last one, the total is 11.
Pretty close to break even on here.
Yeah, but I mean, but what I'm getting at is, I mean, if you're doing that every year, eventually you're gonna.
Eventually, yeah.
I mean, I can see. I mean, like in 2 years, we're getting out of one of the loans, which I think that's like almost $4,000 per year that you can put aside. That'll help. But
yeah, that will. And you'll see, like the $18,000 on the principal paid on long term debt.
Uh huh.
Right there. Yeah, you see there. That's gonna. that's going to be going down over the next couple of years as you retire some of this debt. So without that, you would be kind of breaking even on your cash. But and like I said, there's not always going to be a capital expenditure. You had you bought some equipment or something. That may go up or down from year to year as well. So
so what you're saying is next year we may not have that. It
you
may be less
have,
or maybe...
You may not have those. Yeah, you may break... If you don't, if you didn't have any of those capital expenditures, you may have... You would have $4,000 of increase in cash. It's just... You're not going to know exactly from year to year what some of those expenditures are. You know, you will from your budget, but... And that's where you got to be, you know, focusing on the budget, trying to make sure that your user charges are sufficient for what you want, what you need to do that coming fiscal year.
Yeah, because last year we had a pretty good size rate increase because there was a whole lot of people in here.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a good substantial amount, but it seemed like if we did that, it'd be a lot better than what I'm looking at now.
When was that implemented, the rate increase?
I think the rate increase was...
It was basically July of 14. So
I'm sorry.
All of last fiscal year.
Yeah, so we had a full year.
We had 12 months of increased rate.
Yeah. So it could be better. It stopped a lot of the bleeding, but like you said, it would be... It's not dire what's going on, but it would be hard to go back to the community and probably do another rate increase right now. Yeah, so, you know, down the road it will probably have to take place again, but for right now, like I said, it's not bad. So. Following those pages are the notes to the financial statements that give you a little more information on.
Okay, now on the next page on 12, it said something here about way at the bottom of the last sentence, when both restricted and unrestricted resources are available for use, generally it is the district's policy to use restricted resources first. What do you mean by restricted and unrestricted?
That would be like grant funds.
Which is a grant fund, the restricted?
Yeah, you would use those up and then, you know, spend those and then use your additional...
The unrestricted money. Fall under
like... Unrestricted fall, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's boilerplate language, is it not?
Yeah, and that's standard.
I didn't know what it meant. That's why I'm asking.
Any other questions on the footnotes or anything in that you saw in there?
No.
Okay. Towards page 22, you can see your budget, the actual. That's actually just for the general fund, as we mentioned earlier. So it was pretty in line overall with your what was budgeted.
I had something else on page, not 16, page 17 to be exact, disclosure relating to credit risk. Okay, now on here and right at the middle, it says this measure is an assignment of rating by a nationally recognized statistical rating organ. However, Fresno County Pool and LIF are not rated. Now, is this good or bad for this district?
It's fine. I mean, but they're not rated as your typical, like, you know, like bonds are and mutual funds and stuff. But both of those are very secure investment options. I mean, LAIF has never incurred any losses. So I would say your money's very safe there.
Okay.
Fresno County, maybe, you know, never had any losses there either, you know, with people.
So it's pretty stable, more or less.
I think both of those are safe options.
Okay. Now the next one, concentration of credit risk, it says that this district does not have a formal investment policy and would further limit exposure to concentration of credit risk. And I wrote down, does BCSD need to address this or just it's okay?
No, you don't need to because you don't have any investments such as stocks.
Oh, okay. That's what this is tied to.
Yeah, mutual funds or CDs or anything like that. You're mainly just holding cash. You're not investing in any kind of securities.
That's all I had to ask.
Okay. And then towards the end of the financial statements is another letter. This has to do with the internal controls.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, too, I didn't want to pass over that one, too, the debt.
Oh, yeah, that shows your future debt.
What page
schedule.
Is that?
Page 21.
So basically, by the end of 2018, we're going to be out of one of them.
Yeah, if you go up the page before, you can see what goes. The main one is the Department of Water Resources loan, but that's 0% interest, and so.
That's a 40-year term, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's the one that's going to be around for a while, but the other two are coming to.
One is in February 2018. The other one's what? 19.
Well, we talked about paying this one off before, and we ended up not. I wanted to reference that because in the director's comments, I want to come back to this. We had a conversation with the state people about our debt, and so I want to revisit that. Right. I just want everybody to be aware of that.
If you go down to the other opinion letter on the internal controls.
So that was what page?
Keep going. Right here. So this is another standard letter. This letter is similar to what we've issued in the past. We've been carrying forward what we consider a significant deficiency, and that's referenced at the very last page. It has to do with the internal controls of the district. Just because of the size of the district, there are some difficulties having proper segregation of duties, because there are times where just one person is here, and you know, and that's been an ongoing, you know, we do some things where we can verify, we can make sure that there aren't adjustments being posted to accounts that aren't approved. There's different things we can do, but as far as for our reporting purposes, if we see, you know, a weakness in internal controls, we need to alert you of that.
Is that why you put down, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the district's internal control?
Yeah. And even without that, we don't express an opinion either way, but that deficiency we've been carrying forward for the past couple of years, and so.
Well, that's the one you said with the person that enters, collects, and enters.
Yeah.
Is that? Okay.
It's referenced on the very last page, the criteria, condition, cause, and effect. That's where you can see the details of that one. The next report is the one that has to do with the single audit, and we're basically just stating there we didn't find any questionable costs.
These are for the grant?
Yeah, the grant funds, yeah. So that report's basically saying that everything was in compliance with the grants. Page 27 shows you a schedule of expenditure. Those were the $512,000 is the amount that the district received and spent of those grant funds. And 28 is kind of a summary of the different different results of the audit. So it's kind of a summary saying there were no material weaknesses, but there was a significant deficiency, which was referenced in the previous letter. There was no non-compliance in material of the financial statements noted. And then it goes to the federal awards section, and there were, as far as the federal awards were concerned, there was no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies.
Yeah, but yet no is marked.
What's that?
On that one, it says internal control over major programs, material weaknesses identified, and you have no.
Yeah, so we didn't have any, as far as the federal awards were concerned, there were none noted there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. You don't want to have any significant deficiencies and material weaknesses.
So if it had been yes, then?
Then we report that with a form that gets submitted to the feds, you know, that monitor.
So in other words, the by marking of no, then that's good for the for the community.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's pretty much all I had on the financial statements. There's also a management report that you've probably seen a copy of. That makes a few general disclosures to you as the board that we're just responsible to communicate to you. It's basically stating that there weren't any uncorrected misstatements that we found that weren't corrected, that we didn't have any disagreements with management, there were no difficulties encountered in performing the audit, some of those basic disclosures. So there were no exceptions to any of those comments in the management report.
Now here at the bottom it says implementation of an independent view of daily cash reconciliations, utility billing reconciliations, or segregated cash receipt duties for billing duties. It says, does this need something this district has to address now or within the next?
No. There's a lot of the smaller districts all will have a similar,
one person doing everything.
It's just, you have to, you as a district can look at the cost benefit where, yes, you're living with maybe not ideal internal controls, but in order to have good internal controls, you'd probably have to hire another person. And sometimes the cost benefit's just not there, you know, especially with having other things you can do with the district manager who can do some reviews, you have the audit. So I would say it's not something that you
for this size of district, it's...
Because you'd have to have two people here all the time, you know, different things like that, which maybe just isn't cost efficient for the district just to get rid of, you know, that comment. So. There was also just this management's suggestion at the end of the management report, authorize an account for utility receivable receipts and adjustments. This is where having a district manager will allow
what page is that?
It's page 5 of the management report.
Oh, different document. Because I guess the last page here, where it says your recommendation there,
That's the one we were just talking about. This is a different one.
Okay, so I need to go find.
Do we have that?
Oh, we do.
Did you get that letter?
No, I don't have that.
It should be in your packet.
Not the.
The management letter?
It's just the audit that they got.
There's extra copies there if you want to send those off.
Oh, he can go ahead and put them up there. Okay.
Okay. A little shorter.
Yeah, the first page is just an introduction letter, same verbiage that was repeated in the audit report.
Oh man, I didn't have time to circle any items on this.
This is the one I was saying is our representation to the board. There were no exceptions to any of these. As I said, there were no disagreements with management. There were no. We didn't have to consult with any other third parties, you know, outside consultants. It's and so there were no exceptions to any of these comments. And then the last page of this report is where we made a suggestion where the general manager can review the adjustment history report, and that allows him to look for any adjustments to a customer's account. That's where we always want to be careful because sometimes within
What do you mean by adjustments?
Utility billing, people...
late fees.
Yeah, late. You know, someone writing off an account or making a decision on their own that, you know, this is someone that, you know, I want to help out. I'm going to, you know, take their balance off or I'm going to, you know, book a credit balance, you know, credit to their account. That's where you can run into some problems. And that's what we... Anytime we've ran into... fraud, it's always been kind of an utility.
But you can find that out eventually when you do the audit, though, right?
Yeah, and that's why we're wanting that. That's why we're looking at that report, too, to make sure if there's any credit adjustments or write-offs that they're approved by, you know, someone other than the person that recorded that, you know. So that's where we focus on that report as well to make sure there's no unauthorized adjustments to the customer accounts. So, because we can see that when you enter an adjustment, it'll be like a payment, or it'll say credit, or it'll say write off. You know, there's different codes, and so anything that's not a payment, we want to make sure that it was approved by the district managers.
Oh, okay.
Someone's reviewing it.
On a practical sort of way, in our billing software, it allows for that adjustment. See the middle of that paragraph up there? It says adjustment history report. So, Elaine would run that adjustment history that pulls up every single person's account and any adjustments were made in that account. And the way it reads is there's one column where if there's anything, it's always most, the standard look is zero. So if there's anything in there, like $9 for late fees or check bounces or something like that, it's going to show up in that account. And so Ryan is saying basically that we should do that every month. We'll have a file, and that Lynn will print it, and then I will review it and initial that I'm aware of every adjustment on every account.
That's more or less has a safeguard then.
Yeah.
Correct.
Checks and balances.
Checks and balances.
but it's not something we've done before. So this will, it just adds another layer of accountability for our internal staff.
That's all I have. Do you have any questions?
No, I've already asked all my questions.
Well, were there pages we didn't get there? We spiked over some of them.
Yeah, I didn't go over every page, and some highlights, but there's.
Even over the important stuff.
Yeah, he more or less answered everything. Because I had yellow marks almost on every other page. He skips them.
It's good to see someone's reading these things.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of it. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
So I two times I read it to be exact.
Yeah.
Do
you seem like you know
it
by heart?
No.
Well, I guess the part of what I want to kind of go back to, and I guess referencing a conversation I had with Monique after the last board meeting, you know, the bottom line is, you know, what's our bottom line? Are we spending more money than we're bringing in or not?
I think so.
If you get rid of depreciation. And I think, yeah, in the past few years, we were. But I think as a result of raised rates in 2014-15...
That helped.
And 15-16, you know, we should be... We're a little over. And what I'm... Those bottom line numbers that showed those negatives... you know, because really, in water, we're up about 30,000, and in wastewater, we're up about 15. When you take depreciation out. But anything, those negatives come out of our reserves. That's 658,000 up there.
Talking about the general fund?
In those two cash in Fresno County and LAIF account. That totals to 658. That's our reserve.
You know what though? But you can't be digging into it all the time though. I mean,
we don't want to dig in it at all. Like he said, if we can pay off some of these loans, we'll be able to take that money and put it and start building that up.
So again.
That would be the idea. The other thing, and Rudy, you pointed this out in a conversation this week. You know, we've got two CDBG projects coming up. We're about to kick out the E&G water lines. Well, that we get $300,000 for that. The engineering is $60,000 or whatever. And if the bid comes in high, anything over $300,000 has to come out of our reserves.
What I was telling Dwight when I came in here during the week, I think it was Tuesday or something, or Wednesday.
Something like that.
Anyway, we were talking, and I was telling him, you know, it's great that we're doing something as a community, because now we're doing more things than probably in the last 20 years, huh? When you think about it, in the last 5 years, when I say we, I mean the new board. This board changed back in 2011.
Yeah.
And we've made dramatic changes as far as improvements and stuff like this. But I was telling Dwight, every time we apply for a CDBG funding, if they give you 250 or 300 or whatever, anything that goes over that, and there was one the other, like 30,000, that has to come out of the general fund.
Yeah. Well,
and if you start kicking 20, 30, 40 every year, and you do that over 5 years, you've already gone through 150, 200,000 out of your general fund.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. All they see is, oh, we got new sidewalk, or we got this, but you don't stop and think of the money you keep taking, but nothing's coming back in.
Yeah. Well, the Biola Avenue cost us about $27,000.
Well, that's a good example there.
You know, but they gave us $300, it cost $327.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
That had to come out.
It paid for almost everything. $27 is really nothing compared, but what I'm getting at is if you keep taking $20, $30 every year, it doesn't take a scientist to figure out after 10 years you've gone through a lot and you haven't replenished it.
That's why it'd be nice if the rates were there to cover, you know, to add
it. You can't do that. There's not enough. I mean, if we had 10,000 people maybe, but we only got what?
320 accounts.
Yeah, 300. I mean, you can't.
And if you push too hard, then they vote you off and they come, someone else comes.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, the rate's there.
Yeah.
Well, we just have to be smart and efficient, bottom line,
yeah.
And use our money wisely.
Okay. Other questions?
No.
Any questions from the crowd?
No comment.
Comment, Mr. Smith?
Where the surplus of this board was really hurt is the negligence of the sewer plant.
Yeah.
You can't pull that out, so no. A lot of money that were spent in the coffers were right into that function or debt, and it had to happen. The second thing is we're $42,000 over budget because of the mishap on the oversight with the water connection at that particular project on Bow Avenue. So that doesn't happen, then you come in under budget and you didn't have to spend $26,000 in municipalities' monies. But things like that happen. This board is not perfect, doesn't work on water, but going back to what you alluded to earlier, they made huge improvements in your knowledge base is growing immensely. So as you continue to do these projects, you get better at it.
See,
and hopefully the people that fall behind you continue to, you know.
See, a few years ago, we had a big expense at the sewer plant. I mean, we went through, almost $500,000, almost $500,000.
More than
yeah, at one time, this district had like 1.5 in the account. Now we're down to six. But the only reason that happened because no improvement was ever done. And once the new board came on, you have to do it because that's the lifeline of this community. If that thing breaks, what happens then? You can't give everybody buckets. So that's a lot of the money went there.
Well, some of that money, like $350,000, was set aside from previous boards and general managers that were here for that particular project, the sewer plant. So we had that in our coffers at the time. And when all of this started going down with the sewer plant, that's where all that money went to fix it. Plus, we got some help from the state. So.
I think that I'm not a CPA, but I think that Mr. Dolly would attest that even in the situation that you're in, you're still very fiscally sound.
Yeah.
In comparison to communities of the size, stature, and even communities larger.
I think if we only had like $60,000 in the bank, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to ask a question. I heard through the grapevine that a multi-purpose room was going to be built, or multi-purpose building was going to be built here by a
school.
What have you heard at school?
Well, it's funny that you should bring that up. This Saturday morning is a special board meeting for Central Unified School District to discuss boundaries and building. And so they're going to discuss that very topic. But it's been in the plans for a long time. But I think they're having this special district board meeting to try to get everybody on the same page and prioritize the money from the state and the local bond money that they have. To maximize their ability. But yeah, it's been on the books. You heard Burke Contreras when he came, whenever it was, last summer, to our board meeting, and he talked about the building they have, the improvements, they've got plans. So they're on the books, they've been through the state engineers, they're ready to go. As soon as they designate the money for it, they're going to do it. And it's a big deal. You're going to take out all the sycamore trees, and everything from the corner back to the school will be additional parking, lighting, and the multi-purpose room.
That'd be great.
So
it'll be a big add.
So in other words, some of that sidewalk that were in the works with CDB.
No, that's unrelated.
It stops at East.
We're on the other side of the street. Yeah, our stops at E. Theirs goes from E north.
Okay.
It's just an asphalt. It's an asphalt
walkway right now.
So they'll tear that up. And they'll redo the
because didn't they tell you one time that the only reason they put asphalt because eventually they're going to tear that out? They couldn't see spending money for cement.
Right. That wasn't the school that did that. That was the county. It was state funds.
So that did the asphalt?
They did it with asphalt because they knew that project was coming.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a school.
No, the school didn't do that.
Was that Safe Roots to School Grant?
It was a Safe Roots to School Grant, but we got the county very similar to the project that we just did in Bow Avenue or G Street Avenue. The county was the facilitator. The county applied for the funds under for Vital through the same process. They got letters of endorsement from the school, as they did from every agency within the community, but it was actually the county who applied for the funding.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a school.
No. But there's also a permanent library. They're taking out the modular library, and they're putting in the permanent one, and a permanent preschool, because the preschool is also in the modular contributors. So that's also part of that.
This is all within the next 5 years?
Well, the excuse of them not doing it has been the bond. It was a bond money. It's been tax dollars that were voted on for these projects. But because the housing industry kind of crashed, they were anticipating more funds.
Yeah.
And they're saying they didn't retrieve the amount of funds that they thought they were going to retrieve. So they have the matching funds, but they say the tax dollars aren't going to match. So.
They say they have the state matching funds?
Yeah.
That were available?
Happened.
I didn't realize that.
Isn't that what that gentleman said that when he was here that night?
It's that they had the state matching money?
I wasn't too sure, but he did say something about matching funds, but I don't know if he said they had it or didn't, but he's saying they did.
Threw a bunch of money out at the school districts. That was part of that fund. It was all part of those funds. And yeah, the state has had the money for quite some time. It's the district. Well, but the game that's being played is that if you don't build the new high school, threatening for the last, Marissa was first graduating from that high school, that hasn't been going around. Once the population base of Central East reaches a certain threshold, when it's way overpopulated, the state will come in and build the high school. So they've been playing that waiting game. Meanwhile, it's been hurting the students in the schools because they're at, almost over 40 kids per class.
Dang.
So it's the game within the game. Anyway, it is what it is, right?
If you were interested in going, it's an open board meeting, so if anybody wants to go.
That's at Glacier Point?
No,
or
high school.
It's at the district office.
Oh, to the district.
Yeah. Yeah. Both district.
Oh, right. I looked it up.
This is called Polk, isn't it?
Is that Teague?
By Teague, yeah.
Yeah.
Behind
the back. A little side where they go.
Gettysburg.
We got a motion in a second, so.
Yeah, if you're ready to vote, you can vote.
Those in favor of?
The approval of the audit?
Audit.
I make a motion we approve the audit that was done by Mr. Ryan P. Jolly.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same side.
Thank you, sir.
Muchas gracias.
Yep.
Have a good drive safe.
Thank you.
You're not going back to Farwell, are you?
No.
You just worked there.
Yeah, back to President.
Oh, that's good.
But we do that drive on a separate day, so.
Well, it's about a half-hour drive from here.
Avenue 7 is what we take out.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's nice and foggy.
It's
a beautiful drive, in about 2-3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
With all the almond blossoms. Yeah. Oh, God, it's gorgeous.
Well, you have a safe trip.
Good night.
Good night.
For the record, they had already did a motion. It was Rudy Hernandez and then Mercedes Ramos. Because
then
they motioned before
right.
We went to the
question.
Right, that's
so
how you're supposed to do it.
Okay.
You just call for the question. And vote. By the way, there's the meeting agenda for Saturday with the school district.
Yes, it is at 9.
9 o'clock.
In the morning?
Room 4.
Yeah. In room 4 at the district office, those portables behind T.
Yeah.
And the agenda is attendance area presentation, elementary areas, middle school areas, high school attendance areas, and then
it's 9 to 3.
It's all, yeah, it's most of the day.
Oh my God, 6 hours?
So,
for the kids.
Do
they feed you lunch?
I don't know.
That's a long
time. But here's their Measure B priority funding. So,
where are we on the list?
Let's look.
Okay, I can see it.
Where's my little plus sign right here? Okay. Viola. Well, we're not in 2017. And we're not in 2020. Holy smokes.
That's all right.
Okay.
We'll go for a little bit and then.
We'll, more later.
Okay. We're at old business.
Okay,
Riz. Old business. Approval of financial report as of December 31st, 2015.
Motion second, and then a discussion?
No, motion to accept the approval of the financial report as of December 31st, 2015.
I'll make a motion to approve for the financial report.
Second.
No, you don't have a second, do you?
We need a second.
Oh, to continue?
Just to discuss it.
Do you want to?
You want to discuss it, right?
I have a question, but I guess we could discuss it after, right?
Yeah, you make the motion and then we discuss.
Okay, so I'll second it.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Yes. Martha brought to my attention, I guess she wanted a clarification, she said she couldn't be here, but...
What page?
Page one. Wait, I'm sorry, hold on. It's the profit...
The 1 month or 6 months?
What was the amount, and I didn't help you find it?
It is where it says transactions account, oh, okay, which number? She was referencing to Dwight's pay, she basically was just questioning if, I guess, he gets paid vacation. It looks like the pay is, does not reflect a vacation, is what she said.
What happened to, where are we at?
Do you see it?
Well, on salaries and wages, on the first page, down there to about two-thirds of the way down, it says paid leave hours, and it has a $30 there. And she's wondering, what's that $30 for?
You're on somewhere else, I'm not.
Oh, that's not what you're talking about?
She did question that one, yes. And honestly, I don't really feel comfortable kind of,
Speaking for her,
exactly. I don't know if it's something we can kind of hold off or what, but she had a couple questions.
Okay.
In regards to that, so I don't know how you would like.
I have a couple of them that she had questions on, and I kind of did my homework on them, so if you want to go over.
That's fine.
On the 6 months one, it was expenses, bank charges, $470.77.
Okay, wait, where are you at?
It's the third page.
Okay.
And it's the profit and loss previous year comparison.
Yes, okay.
And it's under expenses. And it's bank charges. She was concerned about the $470.77. And then those are 6 months worth of our...
I don't see that one. Do you see it?
It really says page one, what it says on there.
Yeah, but it's our third page.
It's the third page.
Oh, yeah, third page of the whole thing.
Okay,
it's the third
so
page of the report.
The third page, okay.
And it says bank charges. It says expense.
Oh, okay. She actually didn't even bring that one up to me.
$470.77. Those are our courier services that we pay monthly.
Okay. She didn't mention that one.
Okay. So she was fine on that one because it clarified that one.
Okay.
And that was 6 months worth. And then legal notices and publishing.
Mm-hmm.
It was $148.31. She wanted to know what that was for. That was for when the county elections, a notification that they sent out on our behalf moving from odd years to even years, and it costed us $148.31.
Okay.
That was that one, and then below that it said miscellaneous.
Uh-huh.
It was $1,500.
Uh-huh.
That one was for Raisin Festival. We did the sponsorship of $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then...
How come they just don't enter Raisin Day?
Because... The way Jeff...
We don't have a category for Raisin Day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why
you
it's
have
under...
to click in our QuickBooks system. You have to click on that, and then it shows the detail.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But for the purpose of the report, it's a miscellaneous category. We didn't know where else to put it.
And then research and monitoring right below that for $3,335.
Mm-hmm.
That was for the laboratories, Geo Labs, Far Western Labs. And Salem Engineering went under that.
Oh, okay.
And then travel. At the very bottom, it was $226.44. That was her mileage that Florinda had put in, and then some mileage that Dwight did when he went to certain areas for a meeting or something. So that was
$226.44.
Florinda
and
Claire. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that was it.
And then I think the only one you didn't recap on that she mentioned was a connection of turn-on fees for $35.
I think that's what the district charged to turn it back on.
No, we charged 20.
Oh.
You know what? That one, I forgot about that one, to look into that one. It was under ordinary income expenses.
Right.
And what page is that on?
The same one that we were on.
Yeah.
Over the top.
And then I guess she just didn't know if, being that Dwight took some vacation off, she didn't know if he got paid, like paid vacation?
Yes, no, he's part-time, so he doesn't get paid any vacation. And
actually,
all that paid leave.
I think I do.
Vacation?
Yeah, it does.
In 2016, the new law, or July of 2015, you get a day every.
Oh, for vacation.
Vacation.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about
holiday. Not holiday.
Holiday is different.
No.
Okay. No, I don't get vacation pay.
Yeah. The only one that gets vacation paid leave is Florinda because she's considered full-time.
I thought if you were an employee or you were part-time or full-time, you get
vacation.
Because I get vacation.
That's sick leave.
Oh, sick leave.
That's where everybody gets. That's some
California.
Work
you get days
right.
Or whatever, right?
That's where it is.
Right.
Yeah, so all the paid leave hours, those would be for Florinda.
Where's that at?
On that same page at the very bottom.
Well, I guess she was looking at the three different paychecks or pay, you know, pay amounts for Dwight, and they don't seem to show a change, as, you know, when he was on vacation, is what she mentioned.
You know, it'd be so much easier if she was to ask these questions. That
yeah,
way,
I know.
I mean, because
you're like
the middle person.
I know, and I really don't want to, but I mean, I don't know what to do. She's not here.
So should we table? Can we table that part?
If we can, I would prefer that, honestly.
Okay.
But I mean, we.
Well, she can even come in on her own and talk to.
Yeah, I don't know where that leaves if we can table or what or what you want to do, but whatever you guys want to do.
Well,
we can pull.
There's a couple options. You know, we could just table the financial reports, or you could approve the financial reports.
With the exception of those four or five questions that she's asking.
Well, you don't even really have to do that. Just ensure that there's a follow-up explanation for all those.
Oh, for our next meeting, you mean?
Yeah. Or I would say even before the next meeting. You know, we'll have a meeting with Martha. And
well, that's what I mean. She can come and talk to you, and you can talk directly
to
her.
Well, she did come in and talk to Elaine. That's how Elaine got all the notes.
Oh.
But I think the only thing she probably didn't mention.
She didn't mention that.
She didn't mention the payroll part.
Oh.
I'm still unclear as to what she was asking.
Because I guess you've taken some vacation, and at first her concern was when you took those vacations where you paid for them through here, which you weren't.
Right.
And then being gone, your pay didn't fluctuate at all.
That's what she said.
That was her concern. So.
Okay.
But you don't get the paid vacation.
No.
Probably the simplest thing to do is just show her the timesheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how the payroll just comes right off the timesheet.
So we don't need to table the financial reports. We can just discuss that with her and just show it to her.
I mean, that's one
option. Well, I think, I mean, we, like you said, we could probably just make a motion and then. I think that's the only item, basically, that maybe we would follow up on next month or whatever.
Okay. As far as I'm concerned, myself, I'm satisfied with the answers you gave me now.
Me too.
If you want to talk to her by yourself or bring it up, that's up to you. Well, really,
that's fine with me. It was more
her concern. Well, we're happy to meet with any board members any time to clear up questions. So that's always the
option. I think the best thing would be talking
anytime.
To her. Because it kind of puts you in the in the middle.
Yeah.
That's fine. If you want to, you know, we could just vote, you know, and she can talk to you later. Or you
she can talk to you, and then we can kind of, we'll put it on the agenda
right.
for next meeting, just
well,
to follow up information.
I'll email you guys about the results of that conversation, so the rest of you are looped in.
Okay.
Ready?
Can you vote?
Had a vote. We just need us all in favor.
All those in favor?
Hi.
All over.
Okay. You have to go one by one.
What?
You have to ask each one.
How do you vote?
What?
What do we call the financial?
Well, you have to approve the vote. You had a motion and a second, and so we just need it all in favor.
All in favor.
For approving the financial report.
Yes. Yes. Tongue tied.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
Did you want to ask a question, or I know he was a little bit late, did you want to address the board, or get us a sped out, or? Okay, he wanted to address the board, we don't mind.
Well, why don't we do it now, I mean?
Well, we could postpone that conversation to item B, six B.
Okay.
Okay. Are we done with the pool of financial report?
We are.
Yes.
So item B, my suggestion was to take B, C, and E, and table those till next meeting.
Okay.
Was it B, which one?
B, C, and E.
Table.
Table?
I mean, that there's no big rush on this, right?
There is not.
Okay.
Okay, item D.
Well, you have to vote on that. You have to vote to table.
I make a motion that we table items B, C, and D.
E.
Oh, E?
E.
Not D?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, do I hear a, second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and so very quick on D. Everybody got a chance to look at the gator. Everybody's had a chance to look at the freezer. The ice maker is a bigger deal because of the work that would have to be done in the kitchen to install it. Plumbing, drainage, power. You know, it's not just something like a freezer where you just plug it in and go. So VFW has confirmed that they are prepared to drop $200 towards that. But
what is the cost?
We don't know, because there's a range in prices. But quite frankly, I'm concerned that the price of the installation would cost more than the freezer itself, the ice maker. And because of all the plumbing, and the best option, I think, as I mentioned in my note, would require that sink on the back wall on the right hand side, that flat space.
The little one?
Kind of to the right of the sink, is to cut that out and put the freezer right there. So we would lose some counter space, but to do that right with stainless steel is not just something anybody can do. So getting quotes for somebody who has that specialized experience to work with stainless steel, and then put a lip on it so the water doesn't spill on the floor, and then having someone else come in and do all the plumbing. Anyway, it's more complicated. And the price of all those additional things could end up being more than the ice maker itself.
You're talking a few thousand dollars now.
But originally the board voted not to the ice, so then it has to be rescinded and re-voted on again?
No. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is, last time we talked about it, you said, let's not do it. But in the conversation, particularly with where we want to go with the partnership with VFW to make this hall more competitive and all of that, having an ice maker is a nice thing. But we're not prepared because we haven't done all that work about all the repairs, and you know, it's easy enough to go online and pick an ice maker and just, you know, get one. But all the other stuff makes it a little more complicated. So what I'd like to do is to...
You'd have to find out exactly what the total cost would be.
That's where I'm going. I'll bring it back to you when I have more. That was my whole purpose. This is a long way of saying exactly that. I'll bring it back when I know more.
I know when Mr. Sanders was here, he mentioned it, and I mentioned, like, do you really need an ice maker? I mean, he was in person that they did. The community needs one.
Well, it's a nice thing.
Yeah,
it makes the hall a better place to have an event. And then the other thing I wanted to get your consent on, I would like to sell all of our tables and chairs on Craigslist or put them up for auction, and get all new, lighter, better stackable chairs and tables and some round tables to go with rectangular tables so that we're much better equipped to have events that require round tables, so we're not just stuck with these. So I would like to come back next month with an estimate for what we could sell all these for and an estimate for what it would cost us to do all those. And I bring it up tonight to get your initial reaction, because you tell me, forget that. These have been working for 20 years and they'll work for another 20. Then I won't do the work of pricing stuff out.
Well, I mean, they look good and everything. It's just that's why you got so many parentheses in that audit when you think about it.
Because we do stuff like this?
Well, you know, it's improvement. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I understand what you're getting at, but do you really need them?
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
No, we do not really need them. We function okay with these. But you ask anybody who's tried to move these things.
They're heavy.
It's a project.
A girl.
And when we moved them into the C-train, it just makes it more of a production.
I'm going to go back to the ice machine. It kind of goes with what Rudy said. I honestly feel a little bit uncomfortable making a lot of these large expenses all at once. I mentioned to you, like you said, this was, reflecting October 18th through November 30th. I mean, it just kind of shows a negative balance of negative $19,000. You know, large expenses like that do concern me because, like Rudy was saying, I mean, we're basically pulling from another fund here to kind of replenish the expenses, but you do that so much, it's only a matter of time that you're going to put yourself in a bad situation. Honestly, I think what would make more sense if we first kind of finalize with the VFW an agreement and then kind of push the upgrades of the ice machine, a new freezer, a new refrigerator, because at this point, I think it's just, I don't understand what the mindset of it. I understand the benefit, the long-term benefit, but I think we kind of have to do that in small steps. Once, you know, we start seeing like somewhat of a profit with the VFW, then it would make sense to kind of make these, you know, big expenses. Otherwise, I think we're taking advantage, honestly, of you know, the purpose here.
You guys are pretty close to finalizing something now, aren't you, Philip?
Permission to address the board.
Go ahead.
I wanted to kind of chime in, and I'm really glad that you went back. That's sometimes members of any organization speak on their own merit. They're not actually speaking for them. Sometimes they get too personal, and they start making comments on a personal level about their own personal aspirations. That's not the consensus of the group. My personal opinion is when we finally get to that point, we establish this partnership, that let the VFW take some ownership. Let them put up the capital. If an ice machine is that important, then let the VFW pony up and make the capital investment to make it happen. It shouldn't fall, that burden shouldn't fall on municipalities. That's on behalf of the group. That's not my feeling. That's all of us. And periodically, again, and I think, sometimes people speak about their own aspirations. Don't let that confuse you with what the group's aspirations are. The group's aspirations are to be a benefit to the community, not an additional cost to the community. And you know what? It hasn't been an ice year for 20 years, and it's worked for 20 plus years. Is it convenient to have an ice machine? Extremely. Is it a sales factor? Yeah. But let's generate some more revenue, and then we can talk about capital expenditures. But again, I believe that the VFW, as an outstanding organization, if they want the ice machine, let them pony up the capital dollars and get it done. I don't think it should fall on behalf of the public.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, without that. But thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I just think we should kind of do a little steps. I feel kind of like, you know, we're making all of these upgrades and advancements, and, you know, VFW is going to, you know, then we're going to hand it off. And I think the purpose was why we were considering to partner up with the VFW is it's going to be a partnership. And I think, you know, we should probably little steps together.
Well said.
Well, I think maybe once everything's finalized, then from there we can go from there.
In my opinion, we're putting the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to say nothing, but I mean.
No,
it's been on my mind.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
We're making more cumbersome than it needs to be,
Because I know you and Dwight and Sanders talked not too long ago about what.
Well, Dwight and Steve talked, and I listened.
That's not totally true.
No, not totally true.
No, I mean, my understanding was you guys kind of talked about
it. Yeah, we did.
I know, we had a good meeting.
No, it was.
That's what I was asking. You guys are pretty close to being finalized. I mean, it just...
You know, we're supposed to move in the last 5 years, so...
Well, that's not saying much.
No.
I would submit we're closer than we've been in the last
Yes, we are. Yeah. That's what I meant.
I mean, that's the impression I got from Dwight. You guys were a lot closer.
We're having this conversation next year again. The same place.
No, I mean, it's got to be taken care of soon. I mean, hopefully this year.
Again,
we want to
compliment the community and the municipality. We don't
want to be a nuisance. Well, you guys aren't that. I mean, not in my eyes, at least.
I'm not either.
I heard that. Okay.
I think we're in the
That's it for that item for me.
No, I was just going to say what it is. Oh, okay. Agent of the
responsibility.
Item D?
Item F.
Yeah.
You have the agenda for last Friday's meeting in front of you somewhere?
Yeah, January 15th?
It's January 15th. It was last Friday.
Yeah.
At the FID, Fresno Irrigation District. I just feel really compelled to keep you guys in the loop on this. I keep saying this is a really big deal. We approved an MOU, okay, a Memorandum of Understanding, to be partners with all these different agencies. We're partners with the City of Fresno, the County of Fresno, the City of Clovis, the City of Kerman, Bakeman Water District, Pinedale County Water District, Garfield Water District, International Water District, Fresno State University, and the Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control District. Okay, and we are a party to this organization. Fresno Irrigation District is taking the lead for all of us that are on that list in putting together a plan that will meet the state law. Okay, so we're not doing ourselves, we're doing it in partnership with them. The reason is that Fresno Irrigation District is 245,000 acres. They are a big ocean, and all those other places are little islands inside that ocean. We're a little island. Bakeman's a little island, although they're bigger than us. You know, Pinedale's pretty small. Fresno State's fairly small. The City of Clovis, City of Fresno's a monster. County of Fresno's big. You know, City of Kerman's pretty big. So anyway, so all of those different agencies, you know, usually it's their public works director or their city manager or the water department guys, have been coming together with as a group over the last number of months. And the next phase is it's all been really friendly and happy up to this point. But now the sticky part comes. Governance and money. And what that means is the next step is putting together an organization, an agency, called the Joint Powers Agency. It's a new board, and it will have representation of everybody in the group, everybody who's in that list. Well, one of the questions is, you got the big dogs, Fresno Irrigation District, County of Fresno, City of Fresno, Clovis, how many votes do they get? How many votes does Biola get? Well, I can tell you, we're never going to have more than one if we have any, because we're little. But how are we, as the little guys and Bakeman, and going to be represented on this new joint powers authority? You know, compared to the voting power of Fresno, the voting power of Clovis, the voting power of even Kerman. So anyway, that's when it gets a little sticky. So they put together a joint powers document. I didn't give it to you because it's cumbersome. It's still in the early, you know, it's a draft. And what isn't cleared here is that issue. How is the board going to look? Now, what they've done, Fresno Irrigation District went through a process in recent years, I don't know how long ago, called the Integrated Regional Management Water Board. It was something else completely, but they came up with an idea for how to have board membership. each group should have membership for different types of decisions. And so that's initially what they say they're going to do. And that basically means for some decisions, everybody's got voting rights. For other decisions, it's just an executive group or smaller group. And that seems to work for that other board. So I'm just kind of laying this out, is this is an ongoing deal. And then the other thing that was part of that meeting, and it was number four on the agenda, it says DWR's facilitation services. And it lists that guy from MWH Global, Craig Moyle. The state, the DWR is the Department of Water Resources in Sacramento. And we, our area, this group, petitioned the state, you guys are making us do all these, jump through all these hoops, but you should give us money to help us get this done. Well, he goes, we won't give you money, but we'll hire a consultant. And we'll pay for 300 hours of this guy's time to work with you guys to pull all your group together. So this guy, Craig Moyle, is the Sacramento guy who's assigned X number of hours to work with us. And the first thing he's going to do in the next couple of weeks is to meet with every single manager in each of the parties and get feedback on what our concerns are. And one of the reasons I'm telling you, I've got my list of things that I'm concerned about, but I also want to solicit.
What services is this organization going to be providing for, say, everyone?
It's mainly legal compliance. We are charged with the law, the state. It's all about groundwater maintenance. That's what it's about, this whole thing. The GSA is and the SGMA, that's Sustainable Groundwater Management Agency. And so the law back in 2014 said that everybody that is an agency that pulls water from underground, you have to have a plan to put water back in, to sustain your groundwater. Well, it doesn't make sense for us to do that ourselves, because we're too small, we have two wells, don't have the kind of setup.
But you know what, but if you're farming, you're flooding your ground. But doesn't the water go back into the ground regardless?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's a good question, because one of the things that came up at this meeting, and there was an article in the Fresno Bee today, this morning, about this very subject, is up in Northern California, they are flooding almonds right now. And here, they're talking about certain crops and certain places, even fallowed ground, any place that's got, they can get water to. They want farmers to put as much water on the ground as they possibly can to get it to percolate back down and to get the groundwater level back up. The other thing I thought was really interesting, and I did not know this, this 245,000 acres of FID, but also in Fresno County is Westlands. You know, it's 100,000 acres on the west side, the James Irrigation District over by kind of Tranquility and San Joaquin, you got Consolidated Irrigation, which is kind of Carruthers, Delray, that area. And then you got Alta, which is over by the foothills. They're all doing their own thing, just like we are. Well, our groundwater in our 250,000 acres of Fresno Irrigation District is the best compared to Alta, Westlands, Consolidated. And so they had graphs on how the groundwater has dropped in different places in Fresno County. And ours has taken the least hits, Fresno Irrigation District. Well, one of the things, and this is where I want Phil to perk up, is because he's always thinking this way, that what that means is that land prices in Fresno Irrigation District are consequently going to go up. Our land's more valuable because we have better groundwater. And that's a big deal for farmers right now. Anybody who's looking to buy or sell property, FID land is in a premium compared to Consolidated or Alta or Westlands. So that means that farmers or landowners in this part of it's an asset for us. And I think part of that is because of our proximity to the river. You know, they've put more water in San Joaquin River, and we're close to it. And we get a lot of the percolation as a result. But regardless, that's a big deal for us. And could potentially be turned into economic development. It could be a positive thing if we can, Biola as a community, can turn that into a marketing piece if we wanted to. We're always looking to kind of upgrade downtown and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but this Craig Moyle is going to be meeting with me in the next few weeks. Say, okay, you're little by little, what are you guys, what are your concerns? And what I'd like to do is get my initial concerns out to you, have you guys think about it, and if you can add to those concerns, I want to be able to bring those up in the meeting. Okay, does that all make sense?
Where water flows, money goes. Our whole western part of the United States has been divided up as awkward and as crooked because it had to have dividing lines, so each state had some portion of some water resource. It's a fact.
California has really complicated water laws. It is goofy. But anyway, this is that's the business we're in, folks. Water. So anyway, that's
information only.
Information only, and if you have any questions. Okay, that's it, Ray.
All right. Number six, new business. Approval of change February 18th, board meeting to February 11th, 2016.
What? Well, I guess what I, Monique had some thoughts on this, and basically we want to talk about, you had talked about a special board meeting in a couple of weeks. We can talk more about that, I think, in closed session when you guys talk about my evaluation.
Special meeting for what?
But for the purpose of our regular February meeting, it could be the 11th or it could be the 25th, or if you don't want to move it, you could have the meeting with and Elaine would chair that meeting. So those are your three options.
It doesn't matter to me.
So why are we moving this?
He's going to be out of town.
I'm going to be in Costa Rica.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's a trip.
Hey, bring back some warm sunshine, will you?
Come on. No, I'm bringing out rain, man. But yeah, I'm going to be gone. So I suggested the 11th, but it could be the 25th, a week after. So
it doesn't matter.
Ray, do you have a preference?
I don't know.
I'm thinking we don't have to have actually the special meeting, but I'm okay with moving to the 11th.
The special meeting pertaining to what?
It was just to get clarification or answers on various things, but I got my answers. I'm getting my answers, so I'm fine.
Oh, items on the agenda, you mean?
Yeah, just some questions, kind of stuff was just kind of all over the place, but I think everything's going fine. So.
Oh, okay.
You have a preference, Mercedes?
11 is fine.
11?
11 is fine.
Okay.
Just get it over with.
All right.
All the way.
So we need a motion and a second to change that.
I have a motion to change the meeting from February the 18th to the 11th.
I make a motion we change the regular board meeting that's dated for February 18th to February 11th, 2016.
We have a second.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. State-sponsored turf replacement program for community centers.
Okay, this is about the turf on this site. And since Agamiro is here, he might want to... And you want to talk about the landscaping?
Turf?
No? Not now? Okay.
Turf about what? Turf for the...
Well, here's the deal. They just did this, like, 2 weeks ago. The state said, we want to encourage agencies, particularly in the Central Valley, from like Merced to Bakersfield, to replace their turf, their grass, with drought-tolerant plants and landscaping. And so what they did is they cut a deal with the California Conservation Corps, the CCC, and they made deals with people that sell plants, and they said anybody, any agency that wants to replace their lawn with drought-tolerant landscaping will do it all for free. The guys will supply all the labor, they'll supply all the plants, they'll redo the irrigation system to, you know, with drip and misters, whatever. You can say what? Because you won't be running as much on your lawn.
Yeah, but how about your kids that come in here sometimes and play on the grass?
Well, here was my suggestion. I went out and did kind of an estimate. We have about 30,000 square feet. We got all that lawn over by the wall. We got all that strip along 7th. We got a strip along C. We got a little bit out front. And then we have all of this in the back. So my recommendation would not be to touch the back. To leave that just like it is. It's a park. Okay? If we were going to do this, but we would take all of that space over there, all of that stuff along the street, the stuff in front of the office entry, and along C. And I got the kind of things that we're talking about. The type of plants that we're talking about. Now, when they started this, they said that they would also supply a landscape designer. They would find access and do a landscape to pay, you know, they would have a professional landscape architect come in and look at your deal and make recommendations for what kind of plants we would have. And you know, so you look at these different kinds of things. But they couldn't find any architect in the state of California who was willing to donate their time. They said, you know, because they weren't going to pay anybody to do it. But there's lots of landscape architects, but not one of them would do it for free. They found guys, the plant places,
nurseries.
They found nurseries that would donate plants, and they had the labor, and they would have tools. And the only thing that they require is that we did some sort of educational something with the workers, with the volunteers, Conservation Corps people, that we made a presentation on, I don't know, we customized some sort of educational lesson for them. I said, well, I could do that. But anyway, so my question is this something that we're interested in? Okay, that's not it. But this is the kind of look that we'd be looking at. And so it would require a different type of maintenance effort on Reno's part. And certainly it would require a lot less water. Now, I got to tell you, we never even read our own meters till about, how long ago? When did we start reading meters?
6 months.
6 months ago? We never tracked how much water because we don't bill ourselves. But we said, well, shoot, we got to at least find it. You know, we're telling everybody else in town to use less water. We need to at least
how much water
be able to prove.
How much water does this community go through?
This site? A lot, actually. more than I thought.
About 60,000?
More than that.
80,000?
Well, it depends on the time of year. Not that much
now. It depends what time of year they're watering, but so far it's gone down to, I think, about 14,000.
Because I can see during the summer this place going through a lot of water.
Well, and we were watering, you know, a lot to keep it all green. And so we cut back. So the bottom line is it would have a different kind of look, but all of this, it wouldn't cost us anything, and ultimately it would cost us less with water.
Personal Zen Gardens?
The Woodward Park?
That's at Woodward Park, I think. Or is it?
No.
It doesn't look like Woodward Park.
Like Zen Gardens, maybe apartment complex or something.
Um,
So anyway, I guess I present this tonight just to get your initial reaction.
You want a fence like that? It says Biola, Botanical Gardens.
So anyway, but these are just examples of the kind of thing.
So it's informational only.
It is informational only, but I guess I would like either a
consensus to see if we move forward.
Just give me a nod or a shake, one or the other.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I just want a comment from everybody. That's all. What do you think, Winnie?
I think it's a good idea.
I can see 7th and C Street, you know, and.
Well, especially the part where we don't even see that all around there.
Well, I mean, that wall actually has the most grass that we got. Yeah. The most grass we got is against that wall.
That's just wasted. You know?
How about our entrance where it says Biola? That whole.
Which is Biola?
The Biola sign. The
Biola Avenue.
Biola
right there.
Avenue and Shaw.
South of Shaw.
Oh, like if you could do something there, you're saying?
I would love to
do something there.
Corn there
one year.
Well, this is only for public agencies in disadvantaged communities.
Well, aren't we?
So it's just us. That's not.
That's part of ours, isn't it?
Where?
That's where the Biola sign's at. This is Biola.
You're coming into Biola.
That's county.
Yeah, I think it's actually
that
county.
That belongs to the county.
The area that's always like
long.
Yeah, I believe it is.
That's not ours.
That's the area that we used to clean every year, huh?
So why are we cleaning it then?
Well, why do we use that?
Because we're community.
For Raisin Day.
We care.
Well, just because we don't want tall weeds.
Oh, is it?
It's like what the county says. It's the county's, but you take care of it.
Well, the homeowners haven't been taking care of it, though.
Well, it sort of falls on the municipalities before it gets out of control.
I don't know.
And I think the means is that, you know what, that's an area that it's a really disadvantaged community. Why not go after not only this, some additional areas?
Technically,
well, that's true.
So wonder if we would qualify.
We qualify.
Because you look at only, that's from the corner to the next block, which is what, A Street or something? B Street? A Street?
But
from Shaw to A.
All the way down.
Just order some.
Oh, you're talking all the way down to the corner of C Street then?
I mean, if it's free.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's huge.
You know, it's funny. I thought the homeowners were cleaning that all this time.
Where are we talking about here?
The corner right there.
Right on this side of the street?
And going all the way down.
So
Viola,
from Shaw
Viola.
To A?
No.
They want to keep going.
All the way?
To B, to C.
All the way to C?
Well,
all the way to here.
All the way to the school.
To the school alley.
All the way to school on the west side of the street. Yeah.
So in other words, the gentleman's been cleaning that area all this time?
We had him clean that one corner.
They spray, they do weed abatement.
You know, all this time I thought the homeowners were cleaning it.
No.
I've had the youth group out there many times cleaning it, but
Irma Dean's
done
it too.
Chamber, the youth group chamber. But
Irma Dean?
That's actually
something years old.
Yeah, that's not ours.
Whacking weeds?
It is, he's right, it's the county's.
So let's talk to the county.
Yeah, let me talk to the county. But is there space there to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about
That's about 3 foot of dirt.
Uh-huh. All right, so we
could
put
pile up weeds.
But there's no water to those, right?
Well, that's going to be a cost that's going to have to be added.
Well, that's where you said they would put the sprinklers
in that program.
That program don't.
No, all they do is they take your irrigation system and they turn it into a drip system.
So there's no irrigation system there.
You'd can they maybe put some like rocks or pebbles or something?
Yeah, they can make it look like the Grand Canyon. Yeah. Like stuff, you know.
Better than weeds.
Good idea.
Yeah, and just spray it to make sure no weeds come through it.
I'm trying to give us that artificial turf.
Artificial
turf in there.
Artificial grass, so we don't have to water it or anything.
Well, seriously, the city of Fresno will pay homeowners up to like $500 to put in artificial turf.
That's in Fresno, though.
I know, but I'm saying the county might have something comparable. Because they also have, I mean, the state also has a plan for, they will give you like a $100 rebate for putting in low flush toilets. And then the state.
Let's not go there again. Toilets.
Okay, but anyway, so we'll let me get back to you. But I didn't realize that was something we could do something about.
That's a sore eye. It's an eyesore. I mean, it's just.
Well, it impacts the look of the town.
Right, because
it's the main kind of entry into Biola, right?
Mm-hmm. Could Could the store do anything like that, since they own that property right there on the corner, instead of, can they beautify it a little bit through that program?
On this side?
Well, them themselves.
Under the same program?
Uh-huh.
But like, have them do it?
Have them do it?
That would probably be a good idea. It'd be closer to their area.
Well, except...
It's still county right-of-way, though. So they can't do it on county right-of-way without county permission.
Well...
They need to get the county to do something. You know?
Has anybody cleaned that under the sign? Remember that, may have brought that up.
And no, it still looks bad. Let's see, this is institutional turf replacement program right here.
Residential turf rebates program on the bottom.
Where?
Right below.
Here?
Right, keep going. Right there. You just passed it. It says residential turf rebates program, right?
There.
One.
Resident turf removal and replacement efforts.
I think it was up there.
Through customer rebates.
Well.
Yeah, I think they do. Institutional turf replacement program, non-state government buildings in the San Joaquin Valley. We've got in partnership with the CCC, that's us. Statewide campaign to promote drought-tolerant landscapes. So we just need to revisit to see which one of the things that can fit. And which ones that Shaw Market might be available to do, and the county.
They could probably answer that for you on a phone call.
We could.
Send them a photo of our...
Well, they're my new best friends. I had a conversation with Dina up there, and she's all excited because we're like the first ones to call. They just started this, and I got an email, and I called them right after I got the email, and they go, yeah, you're like the first one.
So they're going to be real attentive to us then.
Yeah, they love us.
Well, was Agamino going to be keeping up with it or maintaining it, or was he going to be maintaining it? Or?
Well, that's the rub. We got to figure out who's going to do all that, because there's an expense to them. And
no, I just thought that's why he was here. I wasn't sure.
Oh, I don't know. Did you have Mas?
I did talk to him about your guys' concerns the last time about the upkeep of the downtown landscaping and whatnot. And he did have some comments on that, so hopefully he'll...
Oh, okay.
Si quieres hablar de lo que hablé contigo, las preguntas que ellos tenían, the downtown landscaping.
He told me he didn't want to speak at this meeting, he just wanted to understand how the meeting worked. And how the dynamics were, and then he would come back and speak unless he's changed his mind. Mm-hmm. And regarding Moni's question, would he be interested in maintaining additional this project and maintaining it? He said,
siempre.
Of course he would. So, no quiero hablar por ti,
no. No, lo que digo que quiero venir más a las preguntas sobre cómo está, pues ya podemos hablar más tarde.
He wants to come to more meetings, attend more meetings, understand the dynamics and the system, and then have more opportunity to speak in that process.
That's good.
He wants to listen with his ears and his eyes and then speak later.
Well, we should have funding for people to learn English, to ask them to learn English, to become a citizen. And I've always thought that they should have a night class that people could come to learn English, because that's the common English that would unite the whole nation. If everyone had his own culture and his own language, if we had an Ebola event that everyone would die, we don't have a Paul Revere that can run around and tell everybody, get ready, the storm is coming, or whatever. You have to know one language, and that's English. And I think the people of the Hispanic, any nationality would love to learn how to speak English, but I see no efforts made to bring an English-speaking class here in Bible.
I think there was words of that
essential.
A long time ago.
If there's a possibility, we should
there,
have.
There was a program for adults to learn to speak English at school. Nobody, you know, the adults at the time.
A long time ago.
We could definitely look into it. Right? Where would we go for something like that, Phil?
Central Adult School.
Yep.
No, but I think you mean somebody here at this community center to help the
right.
locals.
Well,
right.
So what it means is that I need to call Central Adult. I got my note, my to-do list here.
and asked them if they would do a class out here. And their response to that, I'm guessing, would be, if you can tell me that we'll have
15 people, yeah,
we'll come. Yeah. But we're not going to come out there for free. You know what I mean? So we would have to get commitments from people. And I think if we did, we would be able to persuade Central Adult to come out.
Well, you'd have to get commitment from X amount of people, though, that are willing to learn.
I just want to comment, the one that was happening at the school, the kids had to attend the school. That was one of the criteria. They had 22 people that graduated before they were at max.
Oh, wow.
So it was very effective, but it was a one-time shot, but it should be something ongoing. There's also grants and funds that you can obtain through a municipality. Municipalities can apply for grants that will pay for second language learners.
Okay.
Monies that fund through the school is called Title I Monies, which goes not only to educate children, to educate parents. And there's a lot of funds in there, but again, it only applies to parents who have kids in the school.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very good.
So that's
there's
one of the
some other people I know and that live here that would be interested in that, so it'd be good to get information.
You want to put that on our agenda for next meeting? Just
update. Okay, that's it for B.
I'm just wondering if the residents of Biola know that this ordinance is effective as of January 1, that each one of us, owners and renters and businesses, all have to have a smoke detector in every bedroom and carbon monoxide on each floor if you're on two stories, and you have to. It involves private business, residences, renters. Everyone has to abide by this. It's effective January 1, 2016.
They probably don't know.
But it was announced very, very, what do you call it?
I think it was AB 316 or something like that.
Yeah, this effective this year, January 1. Everyone has to have a carbon monoxide and a smoke detector in each bedroom and in the hallway, and then a carbon monoxide on each floor if you have a two-story residence or a two-story business. And then you have to put in batteries that last for years, not that cannot be tampered with, but it involves everyone.
Sometimes I have to disconnect the smoke alarm so that he smokes.
And a full-blown inspection each year costs between $300 and $800. I just took that off of the.
Rent's going up.
Rent's going up. I was just telling Riz, I disconnected my smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Well, somebody smokes, it goes off all the time.
It was in your personal home.
Ken.
In the house.
Yeah,
well, she said that, any personal homes are exempt?
Yeah,
only.
So
private residences.
Private residence, I think that's your own discretion, right? It's only in the event that it's a rental property and or a public.
Oh.
So, like this one.
No private residence.
There's this, we have a small, what do we have an alarm here?
So everybody's included.
Everyone.
Okay.
Next.
Correspondence
and announcements. Reminder, new office hours, Monday, office close, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. BFW Valentine's stands February 13, 2016. $20 per person, includes dinner and live music. For more information, please contact Steve Sanders. Anything else? Bill?
Can we have our closed session there like last time?
Well, there's. I had just one thing on director's comment.
Oh.
Pretty much it's all in the emails, except for the phone call I had today I wanted to reference. I had a long phone call today with state people about our big water upgrade grant. It's actually a loan, but we don't have to repay it. So technically it's a loan, but because we have our disadvantaged community, in effect it's a grant. We're talking about replacing all of our water lines that are still haven't been replaced. And all new valves, all new meters, and storage tanks, 500,000 gallons of storage for fire safety. And we also put in there a SCADA system for our both wells. That's the alert system that if the pump dies, it calls, automatically calls somebody. The one we have now is not very functional, and so we're looking into replacing that. And the quotes we got were like $75,000 to $100,000 to do that. And so I asked them if we could build that into that this giant grant. This is like $5 million is what we're looking going for. Anyway, we have been jumping through hoops through emails and phone conference calls. And so I was on a conference call with this five people from Sacramento today about they need more stuff. And our
what information you mean?
They need more information. And I've been giving them stuff as they ask it, or they come up with new stuff. And but today, the big deal they were talking about was our debt. And they were concerned that in our last 3 years, we showed an operating loss in the water column. And they hadn't looked at this year's report, which shows an operating positive. But she's going, well, less than 1 year, that's not enough. We're going, well, we raise rates, and why isn't it? They're like, anyway. So they suggested, and in some ways it's kind of silly, but they pretty much said you got to have a water rate study. So they will pay for a water rate study to happen in Biola. Even though we did one, the engineers did one, what, 2 years ago?
Or 14.
They probably did it in 13. And then you guys made the decision in June of 14. But the study was probably done in 13. But even if it's less than 3 years old, we're going to have another water rate study done. And my thing to her was, what I would be interested in this water rate study is, how can we change our rates so that it incentivizes people to use less water and not kill us financially? Because it used to be this 10,000 gallon minimum, and then we charge more. And then we jumped it in 14 to $20,000. So it's because of that, there's way less incentive for Biola people to use less water.
I think the incentive there was because since you were raising it a substantial amount, that Jeff decided to go ahead and give him another, wasn't it 10 or something like that?
Another 10.
That was.
Green yards.
Well, I think for sure we do have to reevaluate that because
of the drought and stuff.
Of that was to for the beautification of, you know, nicer lawns. But I mean, we didn't know or expect anything about the drought. So.
Well, and a wet year isn't going to change that. You know, even though we have a really good year water wise. I don't think we should go back to thinking that we can use a lot of water. We need to think like...
We'd have to have another 2-3 years of this kind of weather.
And even then, you know, we're still... Central California is a desert. I mean, originally, it's never been a big water place. And we've gotten away with it because we've had big underground water. And that's endangered now. So we have to continue, even though we have a good wet year, we have to continue to be conservative. Because there's only four things you can do. You can use less water, you can build more dams and store more water, you can buy water from Canada or Washington or somewhere far away and pipe it down to California, or you can go to the ocean and desalinate. Those are the only options in California. And so right now we're on the use less piece, because that's low-hanging fruit. It's the quickest thing you can get to and try to constantly remind people that, you know, we really, really, really need to use less water. Anyway, having said that, it came back to that data, that debt. And we talked about paying off that Berkadia loan, because when they're looking at our financial reports, they don't care anything about our reserves, our $660,000 reserve. The only thing they care about is that bottom line 1 year. You know, okay, we're $20,000 too good, but that's only 1 year. But they use a ratio of debt to revenue, operating revenues. So it might be advantageous for us to pay off those low loans, those two that are left, the Brocadia one and the other one, which we could do.
They total what, about 38, 36?
Actually less. Less than that.
Well, I thought we had made a motion to pay off the loan, and then what was the...
Well, and then we changed, we rescinded that.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm doing, I want to revisit it, because it may change our ratio to make it the state people a lot happier to fund us because of the way they calculate that.
Do you recall why we rescinded that, or... I have to look at my notes.
Yeah,
I don't
just well, thought it wasn't going to be good just to...
Well, it's a 5%. We pay 5% interest on that, so it's a fairly low interest. It's not zero like the other loan, but it's fairly low. So part of the thinking was it wasn't that big of an advantage. You weren't
going to save a whole lot of money on it.
But the other part of it is, I had made a few phone calls contacting Brocadia people, and the reaction I got from them was daunting. It was like, are you kidding me? You want us to do this, 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 and this just to pay off the loan? And it was not a simple process. So I want to revisit that to see what that is, and then I'll come back.
We'll put it on the agenda for approval.
Man, you think you just write them a check and it'd be over, huh?
You would think you'd be able to write them a check and it'd be over, but it's all back east. It's in, like, New Hampshire or something.
Is that gentleman that came to the office that one day from...
Yes, that loan was done through the National Rural Water Association. The Brocadia loan was, and it was done back in the 80s, and they kind of sold the loan to these Brocadia people. It was initially a National Rural Water loan, and then they sold it to Brocadia, and Brocadia is this completely different entity. So anyway, I'll jump back in, but I wanted you guys to be aware that in order to jump through these hoops on this grant, it might behoove us to pay that off. That was it. Everything else, I think, was in my deal. I think I told you a little bit about a meeting that Philip and I had with the Actigo people a couple weeks ago. And then we also had a meeting with the Actigo people. They're still very, very, very interested in us taking their rinse water.
Yeah, but we're still waiting on the outcome from that gentleman.
Yes. We took samples. Carlos went over and took samples out of their tanks, and we sent it up to the labs, and they analyzed them. Well, they have three, like, 25,000-gallon tanks where they put their rinse water. And all it is the water when they rinse down the machine. Okay? It's not... But what happens is it was pretty salty.
It doesn't circulate? Is that what you're saying?
Well... He took the spigot was at the bottom, and so the thinking was it's probably more salty than it presented a skewed result. So there, last week or 2 weeks ago, right after that meeting, they put a man lift up the top of the tank and they took water out of the top of the tank, and we're having that tested.
Are you waiting?
We're
going to
compare the water from the bottom to the water at the top, because then what they would really like to do was to set up a system on their side of the street that would take water out of the top of their tanks, pipe it over to where the manhole cover is in their parking lot, and dump water into our sewer system, and then it would go across the street and go into the pit, you know, and be processed.
Now, and somewhere along that line, doesn't have to be a meter that determines how much water they get.
Absolutely. They would meter that from the get-go. They're thinking it would be between 5,000 and 10,000 gallons a day.
Okay. Can we accommodate that?
Our normal system is anywhere between 80 and 110,000 gallons a day. So it would be approximately 5% of our total town sewer would come from them.
Wouldn't that go directly into a pond versus going running through our system? Or
we talked about that, and they the problem with that is, because I said, yeah, well, heck, we'll just dump your stuff and let it just be, you know.
Percolate.
Yeah, but there's an issue with our the California Water Resources Board, the guys that give us our permit. So we had to go back and look at our permit with the state that allows us to operate a sewer plant. And so, because we have to be, you know, within our permit deals. And it looks like, you know, we can. Actagro has a plant in Arkansas, Osceola, Arkansas, and their rinse water there goes directly into the sewer plant in Osceola.
And there's more regulations here in California, though.
Way more regulations here. But the other part of that is they get 3 million gallons a day from the town. And so and it's a smaller plant, so they're going maybe 3,000 to 5,000 gallons a day from the plant mixed in with 3 million gallons. So it has a much...
The ratio is...
A ratio makes it... It doesn't even register. So if we do this, what we would do is... started as an experiment. Right now, they dump their water, they put it in a tanker truck, they load it up, and they drive it out to a farm somewhere, they just dump it on the ground. What they would like to do is if we, you know, find out that it's not a problem, they would just tank their water over to us and not put any big meters or any of that kind of stuff, but they would just do a tank at a time and see how that, and we would measure how it reacts with our bacteria and what it does to the oxygen levels and all that kind of stuff.
Would you have to run it through the aerator when you dump it, sort of mix in?
Yeah, because the state won't let us do it just in a pond. But anyway, and then we got to figure out what are we going to charge for this deal. That's a whole different ballgame from what a regular sewer rate. So anyway, all those things are moving ahead. Alfonso Manrique, the engineer that we work with, is really good and has a lot of experience. And he talked to these guys, and he's going, well, shoot. He had a whole different, some solutions for them. They hadn't even thought of it. So anyway, that's progressing along, and I'll keep you posted on that. So that's it for me. Closed session, you can either... kick all these guys out and stay in here, or go in the back.
Just go in there so they don't have to leave.
Well, there's no chairs.
Oh, there's no chairs.
So
we could just take a chair.
You could take a chair, or you could stay here. Okay.